that's the way to kick off a service. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Cerise, for really, you know, blessing this holy ground, because we are all just immensely filled with that power of the Holy Spirit right now. And it's perfect, because I got something to say about all that. So welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm so happy to be here, and I so love it when it just feels like everything comes together into that one place where we know this is the day the Lord has made, and woo, aren't we happy we're here to enjoy it and appreciate it and wake up to it and know it and live it and all of that. So I don't really have to give a message now. I think we're already there. But I am gonna speak to you in spite of all of that, because the title of my message is Exalted. And I hope that inspired you. I hope that is where that kind of talk comes from, because the word exalted or exaltation is a word that is frequently used in the Bible. And it has several variations to the meaning, but I want to talk about it today, and I want to talk about this idea of being exalted in sort of a continuation from last week's talk, where we spoke of, anybody remember?
Expectations,
that's right. So the idea of expectancy is about creating a readiness for us. And the augmenting it today with this idea of being exalted, we're going to dive into that idea of spiritual mind treatment at the feeling level, because our Centers for Spiritual Living that are focusing all year long on 100 years of this, the relevance of this beautiful teaching, it seems like for me every day it becomes more and more people friendly. You know, people are feeling this urge for something, and I think it's in part this message. It's certainly not this religion, it's not this faith, but it does encompass all the ideas that we stand on in principle. So what's happened is interesting. Every month CSL gives us a theme to focus on, and last year it was last month. Can you believe it's a new month? Last month it was spiritual mind treatment, but this month it is spiritual mind treatment with a special emphasis on feelings. Now I feel so validated, because I talk about that all the time from here. From my perspective, that feeling level of believing in the positive affirmations we do in spiritual mind treatment, the way we teach people to pray affirmatively, it's a powerful peace. Feeling is a powerful piece of that, because that's what, you know, how sometimes I call that the quickening. It's the old metaphysicians, the classical metaphysicians refer to it as the involution. So there's an inward movement that we become aware of. It is a feeling, and that is sort of the trigger that activates the law that's always working for us, never against us, that activates this natural spiritual law into working on our behalf. And you don't do it, except we do it by being receptive, by learning how to have the feelings of it, and to just remember to use it. Because it's here for us. So the quotation I took from the little book Creative Mind, which was published 100 years ago by Dr. Ernest Holmes, the quote that inspired me on this message is a quotation I hope that many of you will recognize. I hope I say it enough that it actually sounds a little familiar to you this morning. Ready? Just as the mist disappears before the sun, so shall the adversity melt before the shining radiance of your own exalted thought. Amen. Right? We lift our thought, we look heavenward, we keep the high watch, we take all the languaging, and we realize that something's happening when we exalt our own thought. And it's something so powerful that in the same way the sun dries the mist and clears the fog out of the sky, in the same way we melt away adversity simply by coming from that higher perspective, by believing it's possible that our lives can be different because we're thinking higher thoughts. Yeah. And so that's what I'm talking about today, is that whole way that we look at this word exalt. And indeed, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the what we often refer to as the Old Testament, the word exalt, the origin of the word exalt, is about being lifted up or to inspire. You know, I love that idea that it's that breath of life that uplifts us. And if I looked at the Latin, well, I did, and I'm going to tell you what it said. The Latin derivative is exaltare, and it means high. So we're putting that all together today, and we're talking about being lifted up, being elevated, to hold in high regard, to inspire, and to look on high and know a greater truth. So we're talking about, sometimes we call it in New Thought, you'll hear that term, the upper atmosphere of thought. Sounds very Emma Curtis Hopkins, doesn't it? And we're going to see that as we decide to look higher at life and get our views on what's going on in the world and what's going on in our own lives, as we lift our thought, it is as though we become bathed in this divine illumination. It's like divinity, our awareness of divinity sparks anew in front of us. And so we begin to see everything slightly different than we had before. So in a way, it sounds to me like this is casting out darkness, right? To exalt our thought then is to take an action to cast out darkness. And how do you cast out darkness? You know, sometimes it's as simple as flipping on a light switch. And for some of us who want it even easier, we can clap. Right? You got that clapper thing? Clap on. And there you go. Now, I really like this illustration because it's an action that you will remember now. You will think about how easy it is to just do something that will get your attention to focus on a higher thought, on a broader perspective, a higher perspective or a broader thought, so that we can cast out that darkness. And it really is, I believe, as easy as flipping a switch. But it's just a symbol of flipping a switch. Holmes said, if you want to have greater good, you gotta have greater thoughts. If you want greater good, you just have to have greater thoughts. And so when we get stuck in some of the things that frighten us, some of the things that confuse us in our lives, in our families, in the world, we can be distracted from knowing that that light is always there and that it really is an inside job to return ourselves to remember. You know, and I like that this idea of clapping is not so far-fetched, because I had an experience when Hugh and I, in 1995, Hugh and I missed the entire O.J. Simpson trial because we were living abroad. So we had part of that year in Bangkok and the other part in Jakarta, Indonesia. Now, when we lived in Bangkok, we were immersed in a Buddhist culture. And the Buddhist culture is a fascinating culture to be immersed in, because they are very much active in the way they demonstrate their reverence for that which is greater. So there are altars all over town, every little business, even McDonald's has its own altar out front. And there's every town square where there's a big city that meets in the middle, there'll be a big altar there, and people do not walk past that altar without bowing their heads, even the little children. It was so beautiful to watch this act of reverence, something that they do in the middle of their busy day that brings them back to their center, that grounds them in a spiritual, I'm going to say, principle. And so people would sometimes bring their lunch and put it on one of those altars. people will go to temples and they take an action to as a way of like what I would call a prayer request. So in other words, in some of the Buddhist temples, there would be a statue of Buddha sitting on a platform that people can approach, and you can buy a piece of gold leaf. And let's say your rotator cuff is acting up or something, people would purchase from the temple this piece of gold leaf, and then they would wait their turn to put it on the Buddha statue exactly in the place where they're having pain. And they do that in order to attract the healing. So see, we all have different ways, and I think this is a beautiful way of demonstrating expectation. This is a beautiful way of doing something physical to exalt or raise our thinking, to open us to possibilities of healing, which is nothing more than the revealing of the wholeness that we are already given. And so they have sometimes prayer wheels. Sometimes people would go to pray, and the Buddhist people would spin these prayer wheels that make noise, like just like a children's toy. And so they do those things, including clapping, to get the attention of the gods or whoever it is they believe is answering their prayer. Notice that it is a physical action that then has an embodiment within your being, because you're taking part in you're being very intentional in your healing. So if it helps, clap your hands. If it helps, clap your hands. If you right? Do whatever it takes to raise your thinking, to lift your mind to that upper atmosphere of thought, to where you can sort of feel that shining radiance within you, get ignited, and that you carry yourself through your day in a different way when we take the time to do that. Dr. Holmes said, and this is your gem of the day on page 124. I almost asked you, Mark, what page you were reading because it looked kind of close. On page 124, it's a chapter we don't look at very much. And there's this fabulous quote where Holmes says this: different mental depths and heights from which we look out upon life, from whatever level you are looking, that which you see comes back to you. Okay, so now we're moving in on talking about the law of attraction here. Different mental depths and heights from which we look out upon life, wherever you are, what mood you're in, where the atmosphere of your thought is, that is going to be the perspective that you see. And what the eye captures, think of the eye like a camera. So you look out and you see, never mind. Quickly, move on. You see something that's out of order or something that gets your attention in a negative way. Now, that changes the energetic in your being. It changes your own vibration until you can restore yourself to recognizing harmony in things that are in order again. So the eye looks out. It captures, it's almost like a snapshot. And whatever that is that you have just seen or recognized now comes back to you as a mental image that you carry within you, and you give that image meaning. So from a higher perspective, we'll get not only a broader view, but a completely different frame of reference. I notice that where I'm sitting in the morning, when I'm having my spiritual practice, which I have done my spiritual practice almost every day out all year through summer. Every day I've been on the patio. Thank you so much, Annette. The cushions worked out well. So I notice when I'm sitting there that I have experiences. Now, one, I'm doing my spiritual practice. So everything you might say, everything is perceived through a slightly higher atmosphere of thought. But the other day I was sitting in the swing, and the sun, it was early, and the sun had just peeked over the wall so that there's sunshine went out on the full length of the wall in our backyard, from yard to yard, the full length. And there was a lizard in that funny sideways position. And you know, I see the lizards all the time. I enjoy them very much. But this lizard was running sideways all the way across the entire length of that wall. And it was kind of impressive because I see them go sideways and up and down. I've never seen it, and he was coming right at me. I'm sitting in the swing, and because the morning sun had just peeked over the wall, it elongated his shadow, and because I didn't have my distance glasses on, I looked and I thought that there was a lizard this big running at me. And he was all black and scary looking. Now, once I took a breath and stayed with it and focused better, or he got closer to me, I could see it's just the same lizard I talk to every morning. But from the perspective of the light and the shadow, you know, I was thinking about this. When I saw a lizard this, if I was a man, I'd probably say, this big! When I saw that, sorry, I couldn't resist. John Kruger's back. He's sitting in the front row. So had to welcome you back, John. That's your anointing. No. So I think I see a lizard this big, but think about it. I did see something this big. It was not an illusion. With the shadow, I was really looking at it, and that's how life is. Things come with a shadow, and they look scary, and maybe they are scary, and maybe it's a way we can protect ourselves. But there's always more to see from a higher perspective. It's going to take John a couple weeks now to get to a perspective to respect me again. I'm sorry, John. The same is true of air travel. You know, lots of you, most of you have probably been in an airplane before or some kind of flying thing. And on my 65th birthday, I treated myself to something on my bucket list, and that was to go ballooning. So I went up on my birthday. How many of you have gone ballooning before? Wow. It's like, yeah, I know most everybody's going, not me. So there's something really incredible that you get from the experience of going up in a balloon, and I think it's in part because the lift is subtle. It's it is a sense of floating, you know, and you just start noticing. You can't help but look over the side and watch how the landscape starts to change. The little pucker bushes eventually just blur into the brown dirt, you know. You get high enough and you can see that there are homes out there, and you can see the fences around the homes. You might even see, we could see a horse in somebody's yard, and we could see a dog running laps over here. And eventually you get so high, you can no longer see the fences that separate the property. And then you suddenly notice you're looking at the desert. Oh, what a gorgeous landscape we have here. Oh, from the elevated view, and you look out and you start to see all that flat land that has these most intriguing hills and mountains that just crop up in unexpected ways. It's so beautiful. And when we got high enough up, we could see Lake Pleasant. And then you begin to notice that there are certain things that happen to the land by nature that mark the land, things that you cannot see close up. You can only see from that distance. You can see the way the monsoon rains create these little rushing, flooding rivers, you know, and then they leave their water marks all over the desert floor. And it's just, it's so beautiful. And it's quiet except for that bad part where they make the fire. You know. But it was a gorgeous experience. And then you come down, and then they serve you breakfast in the desert, and you don't even know where you're at. Somebody finds you and brings you food and champagne. It was lovely. It was really a great gift to myself. But I think that as I'm speaking this, as I was writing this, I kept thinking, that is why we were so impressed when the astronauts brought back those first pictures of planet Earth from space. Now, think about this. If I'm in the balloon and I'm looking down and I'm seeing more and more and more of our valley, you have to realize you're still not seeing all of it. So even from the satellite or a picture from space of planet Earth, we're still only seeing part of it. Half of it we can't even see. We know it's there. but we can't even see it. So our placement, where we stand to get perspective, influences everything that we believe and everything that we think we see and what we focus on, and even our understanding of oneness. I think the space photos tell us what Emerson was trying. You know, Emerson said, I have always disliked this quote, that there's times where we just have to get our bloated nothingness out of the way. But you know what he's saying? It's like that. On one hand, it's like how miraculous we are, and on the other hand, it's like how insignificant we are to, you know, like this whole universe. So perspective really matters. Back to page 124 in the Science of Mind textbook, Holmes went on to say, he said that whatever level you look out from, that which you see comes back to you. And he goes on to say in that same section, heaven is lost merely for the lack of perception of harmony. Heaven is lost merely because we lose we have a lack of perception of harmony. And so what we see here is that this is very personal. If I'm having a bad day, it's going to be hard for me to see beauty. If I'm irritated by something, it's going to be hard for me to sense peace in the world. On the other hand, if I'm irritated or confused or angry, you know, it's no wonder we have bad hair days. My goodness. That all of that is a vibrational impact on our being, and it not only impacts us energetically, but then that energy we're giving off everywhere we go, other people pick up on it. You know, we know how that is. So if I'm irritated or confused or really angry at someone or something, then I'm not standing in the light. You know, I need to flip a switch. I need to take an action so that I can renew my sense of perception, that I can take a higher view and I can cast out the darkness that is within me. See, it's not really there. It's just that we get sidetracked by the things that we think we see that we don't like. So there's always a way back. Holmes said, when we learn to convert human passion into divine love, to transmute the lower to the higher, we shall have with us a power of attraction against which nothing can stand. Amen. From the lower to the higher. It's all in the position we take and how we are looking at that lizard running across the wall or the landscape as we're climbing, hiking in the white tanks or camelback. Life is always responding to us energetically, and we are energetically linked. I don't often quote from Esther Hicks, but I found this on the front of a book, one of her books. She said, the law of attraction assembles all cooperative relationships. The law of attraction, which nobody but us new thoughters knew about until the movie The Secret came out, the law of attraction assembles all cooperative relationships. Think about it, where two or more are gathered. So where we're all cooperating in community together, great things happen. But the opposite is also true. If we, you know, I mean, there are two ways of looking at this. You could say that, see, the law is always working. You can't turn the law off, just like you can't turn gravity off. Thank goodness. You cannot be separated from the workings of the law, of spiritual law, of the nature, the general nature of life itself. So the law is either assembling all cooperative relationships, or there's an energetic way it is disassembling, or there is this natural process of when things begin to change. If things don't fit together anymore, come on, all of you have lost weight or gained weight, I'm guessing, maybe not much, but some of us really know. Some of us have a couple sections in our closet. So there are ways that we are always changing because life is always changing, and so we need to get refitted from time to time. when things do not work together well, if things are not fitting together well, they will break apart. It is a natural law of life. It is a law of evolution, of adaptability, of all the things that they have studied long before we started giving it spiritual understanding. So what we see going on in the world, even now, or especially now, is that there things aren't working. You know, technology has changed our lives, and some of it for the good and some of it not so good. And so we're looking for a new culture is emerging, whether or not we participate in it. But it impacts your life at an energetic level based upon how you relate to it. Either you see the harmony in there or you do not, and then that is the controlling factor in how you see the world. Let me be very specific here. I tried to think of an example most of us could relate to. Let's say that you have a job that you're not really very happy with. I hope there are some people here that don't relate to that at all, actually. But let's say you have a job and it's just not what you were hoping it was going to be. You've been there long enough to see that, nope, this is really the way things are. Boss is kind of not, you know, he's a little creepy. And the people are always bickering and nobody gets along and you're not sure you even like the product you're there to represent anymore. And so it grows on you. Your discontent grows until you become aware of it. Now, the easy solution would be leave the job. Go get a different job. But there is opportunity here, and this is how I want you to see how life works. You could complain. You could go home at night and talk to your family and just complain, complain, complain. What are you doing energetically to yourself and your family if you do that? Right? You're bringing more negative, disorganized, disjointed energy into your life. And you're carrying it around because you're thinking about it, you're complaining about it, you're talking about it. You could decide, and there are plenty of us that fit that this part. You could decide that God sent you there to straighten everything out, and you're going to be the spirit of goodness, and you're going to fix it. Yeah, let me know how that turns out. Here's another one many of us relate to. You could ignore it. That's their problem. It's not mine. But you're still carrying around that discord within your own being. You could rally everybody together and see if you can, you know, practice something new you read in a leadership book somewhere and get everybody to get on the same page and maybe you'll get a new boss even. But these are not necessarily the solution. Now, I'm not saying that leaving a job or leaving a marriage or a relationship isn't necessary sometimes. When you have completed the work that you were called to do in that relationship, then it will be done. It will be complete and you can move on. If you have not completed the work and you have not figured out how to go to work in an environment where it's not perfect and you think changing jobs is the easy out, then what's going to happen is you are going to inadvertently, because it's counterintuitive, it doesn't make sense seemingly, but we're going to take that same energy with us because there is something inside of us that's calling to be healed. And if you don't heal it, it follows you everywhere. And that's why people have three or four partners and they all end up being sort of the same partner when you look at it. People go from job to job to job and it's always the same. And that's why people get bitter in life and go, oh, it's just like that in the corporate world. It doesn't have to be like that. If we do our own personal work, now we are no longer rallying against life. We're harmonizing within us that which is called to be healed. So no matter how much you want inner peace, if you're carrying around conflict, you're not going to be able to find that inner peace. You might have moments of it, but it's not going to be lasting. I think that our very purpose for being, I say this a lot, our very purpose for being here on this planet and having a human experience is so that we can learn how to return to love. we can learn how to recognize this doesn't feel good. How would I rather feel? We can flip a switch. We can clap our hands. We can move into action so that we are aligning ourselves on the side of goodness. If we don't have greater thoughts, we can't have a greater life. How about a big amen?
Amen.
All right. So we are always vibrationally aligning ourselves. We think to what we want, but very often we have aligned ourselves to the energetic of what we don't want. I'm not happy here. This doesn't work for me. I don't like those people. My boss sucks. And all of that stuff is just eating us up all the time. Instead of doing the spiritual work to know that there is always that divine light, that illumination within us, that we are never separated from our peace, but we just block ourselves from being able to see it by the things that we look at from the perspective or the angle that we are coming from. When we lift up our thoughts, we lift up our life. So this philosophy is entirely based on education, on learning that. That's why we have so many classes starting in the fall. It's vital that we continue to immerse our attention, to put our focus on that positive kind of growth that we desire, so that we're not just paying attention to the things that we don't like in life. We need to start to know and to name what it is that we do want to experience in our lives. Now, I'm giving a strong message here about becoming active, you know, about using this exalted thought to reinvigorate or re-inspire yourself. But I know there is also a balance in the way that we need to do things to keep our lives in order. You know, if you have a place that you put your head at night, you know that you have to keep your stuff in order or it gets really messy, right? You have to do dishes every now and then or you won't have clean pans to cook the next meal out of, you know? There are so many ways in which we understand that when we feel that call to organize our lives, when I get that call to clean out my closet again, I know that's a really good call because we're thinning it out. We're getting a different perspective and we're making space for newness to come, even if it's just that new perspective. And that matters. All of that is very important. So we want to look for that balance between doing, and then we also want to remember that we only do, that we only cast out the darkness. That's all you have to do. Now, you got to clean your closet every now and then. Well, you don't have to, but by the way, we're having a big parking lot sale coming up, so you'll be wanting to clean and donate your goods to the center pretty soon. That'll be in October. That'll be October 27th. So my friends, stand in the light. Feel that exalted posture and feel the way the sun melts away the mist, that the fog dissipates, that life gets better and things get clearer when we stay focused on a different perspective. And when you get stuck, it's so valuable to just wonder what would it be like to see this from another perspective right now. So do your inner work. Stop. Breathe. Choose again. Lift up your minds so that you can know that truly all is well, because you will begin to feel it in the same way that we felt uplifted by that gorgeous song that Cerise sang for us. You will begin to feel it, to recognize, to know it. You can feel the Holy Spirit in this room. The gifts of the kingdom are freely given, and you are worthy to receive. So take a breath. We're going to take this to prayer. I'd like to invite all the ministers and practitioners in the room to please surround this sanctuary